Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm the Zany Mystic, and my name is Lance White, your host. Tonight, I'm thrilled to have an old friend return to the show, Liz Miller. Liz is a respected and well-known radio and nightclub DJ, Hatha yoga teacher, healing codes practitioner, sound and crystal healer, and esoteric counselor. Like most adult indigo, she has led an unconventional life, always a few years ahead of the mainstream and forever thinking outside the square box. She is also a world traveler, mystic, and spiritual Pied Piper, besides being a very good friend of mine. So let's welcome her to the show right now. Hi, Liz. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm very good. Thank you so much for the invitation to come on your show today.
Well, it's been such a long time, and I miss you.
Thank you. I miss you, too. I'm sure we'll have lots of things to discuss.
Yes. And you had brought up an interesting idea. You thought it might be fun to connect with the Otherwear group and my group and friends and so on and so forth. So I would like for you to be able to open the show in a way that empowers us all. However you would like to do that.
Thank you. I'd love to do that. So what I'd first like to do is welcome everybody who's listening and ask you to sit down or lie down somewhere comfortable. Check that your spine feels nice and straight. Relax your jaw, relax your shoulders, and start to breathe. We're going to work with an exercise that our dear friend Fred Burks introduced on his weboflove.org website that we used many, many times during the broadcasts that I was able to do with BBS Radio with the Otherwear show, which is the Web of Love exercise. And we're going to breathe sacred love together to one another. So as you feel the breath coming into your body, just allow it to enter you as light. Feel that light igniting all of your cells, your DNA, your heart. And see within your heart a beautiful single candle flame burning steadily. Know that this flame represents your divine essence and universal love as a frequency that unites all into wholeness. Continue to breathe and feel your body relaxing. How wonderful it is just to breathe. Knowing that the air that enters our body has been breathed by all the greatest visionaries, leaders, teachers, and thinkers. By all beings who have ever lived on this planet. And we share this breath with them. Now imagine all of us standing in a beautiful circle together. Each one of us with those beautiful flames at our heart. Like points of light within a greater light. As we feel the connection that we all have to the circle and to that light within each of our hearts. Let's breathe together. As you inhale, say to yourself, your sacred love flows into me. As you exhale, my sacred love flows out to you. Your sacred love flows into me. and my sacred love flows out to you. We breathe together, feel the celebration in all of our hearts as we remember our oneness, our connectedness. We strengthen our group field, know that others who would like to align with this field, no matter where they are, can do so simply by choosing. And as our group field grows brighter, see that light of your heart beginning to expand, filling your entire body. Filling our circle, and see that circle surrounding the entire planet. So that the entire planet is enlightened and uplifted by the frequencies we are sharing, with the light that emanates from each of our hearts. Inspiring remembrance within ourselves and others of who we truly are. And then take another deep breath in, feeling that sacred love flowing in. And then sigh the breath out. It's such a beautiful feeling. Zany, do you want to do that with me? Let's take a breath in. And so with that beautiful image and those intentions alive in our awareness, I think we can begin.
That was quite beautiful.
Thank you so much. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing to do, and I was certainly holding all of the members of both of our Yahoo groups very much in my thoughts, as I want to actually dedicate this show to those beings in the Otherware Circle of Light and in the Awakening Cosmic Consciousness group, because, you know, for many years now, since 2005, since the Otherware group began at least, actually yours did too at that time, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We've had the most beautiful support, love and encouragement and unconditional love from so many of those people who are in those groups that we are able to communicate with through those portals, which, you know, is a wonderful thing for both of us. And,
oh, yeah.
And in many, many ways, it's through that support and that love that I have been able to experience a profound journey of expansion, inspiration, and activation that has birthed many, many, many incredible things for myself and hopefully for the planet, as I've done my service work. And I want to say a sincere and heartfelt thank you to each one of those people.
And I would add my thank you to each one of those people as well.
So, how have you been?
Oh, busy, busy, busy.
Well, I think that's kind of our path, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's what we signed up for.
I think so. Sometimes I go kicking and screaming, but go nonetheless I do.
what is it? I'm sorry to turn the tables around for the minute, so I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
What is it that that keeps you going?
Oh, good question. What is it that keeps me going? That is a really good question. I suppose it's kind of an unspoken curiosity about what's around the next bend.
Mm-hmm.
You know how when you're a kid traveling on a road and it's a beautiful country road and there's a curve in the road and it goes uphill and then it changes direction and there's trees on either side and you don't know where you are or where you're going, but every moment of it is beautiful. And I have this innate curiosity to find out what's around the bend. And for me, that's kind of taken, part of that has taken form in the shape of wondering what this December 21st, 2012 moment might be like.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out as much as I can about the Mayan calendar and trying to find people whose information I feel comfortable with that resonates to me, and then trying to pass on, you know, share what I can on my own. And I think I have more fun sharing things than I do. I have fun discovering things too, but I really enjoy sharing myself with other people and the process of discovery together and growth.
That's such a good answer.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. And so there's another thing, too, that kind of, there's a subtle thing, and I don't know if you experience this as well, but I feel as if I have the potential or the possibility to do something new. And I know you feel similar experiences in your own life, that there are perhaps Taj Mahals to visit or pyramids to visit, although you might have done that already. For me, I feel most excited when I'm writing a book. And there's just something that cannot replace the creative juices that flow when I'm putting words together and creating something that might move another human being. And today, just tonight, I got a phone call from an old friend from Nevada, and he's going to be coming through, and he's going to bring a good friend of mine's writings. She goes back 35 or 40 years. She's deceased now, but she was in that Gurdjieff Ostensky school with me, and I'm going to have an opportunity to review her writings and possibly use them in another book.
Oh, that's fantastic news.
So if nothing else, it'll trigger the creative process. And,
yes. Well, you know, your creative process is well and truly alive, and you're a fantastic writer, so I look forward to reading more of your writings.
Oh, thanks. Well, now that you've asked me, let's ask you the same question. What keeps you going?
I suppose it's the unquenchable thirst that I feel for truth.
Yeah. That's even better. I like that one even better.
It feels as though I am here to be the ultimate seeker of truth.
Yeah.
And so much of what I find resonates with me
mm-hmm.
is information that has actually begun to become awakened through finding it. You know, it's awakened from a place where it was dormant inside of me, where I already knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the things that I've learned are things that I've really learned that I'm actually remembering.
Oh.
And so the process has been remembrance of truth, because it was already all inside me in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's never left me.
Yeah.
And it's the same for each one of us.
Yeah.
And the things that resonate the most with me confirm what I already know.
Yeah.
Or they awaken something within me that I realize I already knew. And so my whole life has been this really quite extraordinary journey of remembering. And the more it goes on, the more I remember, the more of my memories of other parts of myself are restored. And as I open my heart more and more to the unity and oneness that we all are a part of, the more those memories are restored, because it's love that's triggering that remembrance. And I think, you know, the journey is really, really about returning through seeking these truths, returning to that place within myself where I am at one with everything. And it's not just a concept, it's a reality, alive experience, you know, that that's part of the fabric of my reality. So yes, I guess that's what keeps me going.
Well, that's wonderful. I wish I said that first. I mean, because that's like, that hits the core button, right? I mean, it's like, If I had to sum it up, that I what I said was good, but I would have cleared away a few layers and I would have got to what you said, because it's so important.
Well, you know, we are all just reflections of each other. I'm holding a piece, you're holding a piece.
What we
both said was beautiful, I think.
Right.
But they are different parts of the same whole.
Do you find that it's difficult being a little bit ahead of the pack, or maybe being so aware of various truths and knowing certain things that are not being revealed to the bulk of humanity at this time?
It was, Zany, it really was. But I can truthfully say in this moment it isn't anymore. In fact, it's a joy.
Really?
Yes. It was difficult when I felt alone. And I couldn't express myself authentically with the people around me. And when I did, often I was met with confusion, you know, people being fearful or projecting their own sort of shadow at me.
Right, right.
Or just, you know, I mean, my dear friends always just thought I was just a little bit nuts.
But they love you anyway.
And they loved me for that, and that was okay. but now I've managed to, through my intention, to reconnect with others who are holding similar code to myself, and that I feel a part of a particular family of spiritual students, I guess you could say. We have, in so many instances, reconnected with one another, and even if it hasn't been in the physical, even if it's just been through an etheric connection, where, for example, I see someone on the world stage who is going out with messages that inspire and uplift others who are, you know, which are messages that I deeply resonate with. I may not know that person, but I recognize that person as part of that family. And I have actually had the opportunity to participate in a group project with 16 other people, actually 15 other people, who went to Italy early last year. A group that was led by the wonderful and very inspirational quantum healer and galactic emissary Lisa Renee, where I was able to meet face-to-face many, many of those beings that I have shared many lifetimes with, who are part of a knowledge system that I am also connected to. And, you know, that was really the first time in my life where I was able to connect with such a large number of people.
Wow.
I just felt like we're mirroring me completely, you know, in so many different ways. And and supporting the energy of who I was and am. And that feeling that I had and each one of us had in the group was so incredibly profound of, oh, thank God, there's somebody else like me out there.
Yeah.
And we're all here to do something together in service to this planet, in service to this universe.
Yeah.
And since then, and that was a huge moment for me, and I think for everybody who was there, because we'd all led very solitary lives, and we'd just done it tough, you know, up until then. Since then, things have really opened up for me, and I've been able to meet with many, many other people who are part of that soul family, and that has been an incredibly enriching part of my experience over the last couple of years. It has transformed the way that I view myself. Instead of being that lone wolf, you know, I'm part of a team, and it's a great team to be part of. When we were all in Italy together, actually, someone was making a joke around the kitchen table and saying, geez, I feel like I'm on the Ascension Olympic team. And, you know, we all burst out laughing, but at a deep level, I think all of us felt what that meant to us.
Wow.
And that it was a team effort. And that's the sense of reunion that we had with each other, a sense of relief from lifetimes of holding on to these codes that did not fit in those other timelines.
Right.
You know, waiting for a time when they would.
Right.
Could finally be expressed, used, and the weight of it could be finally taken off our shoulders. There was this collective exhale in the group because of that, which was wild. And since then, because of that collective exhale, I've been able to breathe again in a new way.
Wow.
And the new openings that have come about as a result have just been magnificent.
Well, I can tell that you've shifted dramatically. I mean, I feel it. there's no question about that. Having been with you, you know, on our trip to Mount Shasta and so forth, I can tell
yes,
that your
what
energy
a great trip
is,
that was.
Is it's definitely shifted in a high, into a much higher gear.
Yes, it has.
Now, much
and
more loving and wonderful space.
Yes, I am, and I'm very, very grateful to you. And so many other people for supporting me in this journey. Those of us who are fortunate enough to have the privilege to experience this before many other people do, are holding this energy within our fields for everybody else to align with. And it's a sacred task.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's quite profound.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the most magical, beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing that I've ever experienced. I think in terms of my conscious memories, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so lucky. I feel so lucky, and so honored.
What were some of the things that you did in Italy?
Well, I'll give everybody a little bit of background just in case you don't know much about Lisa Renee or
yes,
the place
please.
Where we went
that
to.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. The place that we went to is called the Temples of Humankind, and it's located in a region of northwest Italy, just near the Swiss Alps, which is called Damanhur. It's actually the Federazione di Damanhur, which is the Federation of Damanhur, and it's a spiritual community that was intentionally started in the early 70s, and it sprung out of a small number of people who were running a mystery school together in Italy, and they had a vision to create a place and a whole community where people who felt a resonance with the mystery school teachings could come and do their spiritual practices and live their life in a very intentional way as part of a community where unity and oneness was one of the core sort of tenets of their practice and existence. So over the last 30 years or so, that very small community has become, I think, a few hundred people. I think, actually, it may even be a couple of thousand people by now. I should really get those numbers and find out what they are these days. But, you know, at least there's at least somewhere near the vicinity of 1,000 people who are participating in this community and living their lives in this way.
Wow.
So they have sustainable practices. The buildings have an incredible network of wiring that goes through them, which in a way mirrors the etheric nadis of our bodies.
Oh.
So that the current of spiritual energy can flow even through their dwellings.
Wow.
It's really quite stunning. And they have an organic farming system, and there are restaurants and cafes, and you know, many, many different businesses have sprung up who members of the community have built. So, you know, when you go into this field of energy when you're there, it's really quite profound. I noticed straight away the time seemed to slow down. And it's a palpable thing. And as you know, time is collapsing at the moment. Everything seems like it's being compressed so much. And we're squeezing in more than we've ever squeezed in before to shorter and shorter amounts of time.
Yeah, it does feel that way.
And so being at Dharmanhur was just like, oh, wow, this is so nice. Time feels like it used to.
Yeah,
where minutes would take a minute, a real minute, you know.
Yeah.
Hours would take a real hour, and
you'd
be kind of thinking, gee, when's the hour going to be over? there weren't too many of those times, but there were a couple. the group that went there was a group that answered a call that Lisa Renee put out through her website, energeticsynthesis.com. And for those of you out there who did listen to the shows when I did them on BBS Radio, you'll know Lisa Renee very well because she came on the show, I think, three times.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, the two of us really developed a wonderful friendship.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate to meet her in person the year before in 2007, just after I'd been with you, Lance. I went down to Santa Monica, and Lisa and I met face-to-face for the first time. And a few months later, she got a tap on the shoulder by the Guardians, who she works with, that there was to be a group of people that she would get together to go to Dharmanhur to participate in some planetary service work. We had a spiritual mission, which was very involved, actually. A couple of the things that we were to do there, because Dharmanhur is located on a particular point on the Earth's grid that is connected to what are called synchronic lines, which are galactic highways of light, I guess you could call them, where spiritual information and current intersects with the Earth's body. There's a very powerful intersection of these synchronic lines at the very spot where Dharmanhur has been built and where the temples have been built. And so we were to work with those synchronic lines and basically act as representatives for humanity, to ask for humanity's divine blueprint to be reinstated to the whole human race. We worked to recode the elements of the planet with new tables and blueprints, which were needed as the planet is going through its ascension process. We worked with the portal systems, including the Iran, Iraq, Giza, and Tibetan portals, Well, we actually worked with all 12 stargates, which are located around the planet individually, but as a group, we focused on those particular four, which are connected to a grid network called the Four Faces of Man. And we connected those portals to an energy feed line, I guess you could say, that connects this planet to the Milky Way core and to the Andromedan galactic core, so that we could receive some assistance, some extra assistance as we go through our ascension from groups of beings who are working to support us as human beings in the ascension process, which in many ways has sort of changed from the old vision, I think, that many of us had and what the biblical vision of ascension is, to what it is now, which is really about an incension process where we're bringing divinity into our physicality. We're spiritualizing matter. As you know, this is something that's not exactly new news, but to some people who are thinking we're all going to leave the planet and go off somewhere else, that's definitely not the case. We're staying right here and we're creating paradise right here. So there were, you know, many, many other things that we were to do there, but it was just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. And I would highly recommend to anybody who is traveling to Italy to please make an appointment with the people at Dharmaher and spend some time there. If you can only spend one day there, just spend one day there. If you can spend more time there, please, please do. You cannot just drop in and expect to be shown through the temples. It's not that kind of a place.
Right.
It's a very sacred place. And with the work that our group did there as well, we've sort of left some codes there for people to pick up when they visit it, which will certainly help with their ascension process as well. So, I would look at the website. You can go to dharmaher.org or .com, and you can have a look at some of the amazing pictures of the insides of the temples, which are, you know, covered from top to bottom with hand-painted Egyptian hieroglyphs, ancient language of light symbols, Atlantean, Lemurian symbols and images, beautiful murals that people in the community have dedicated their time to paint.
Wow.
Even the mosaicing in the marble floors is exquisite. And my favorite temple is the Hall of Mirrors, which is where our group was very fortunate. We were granted access to sleep there for the night of the spring equinox last year, which was March 21st. And there's a beautiful glass dome in that ceiling, and there's three stories from the marble floor, which is a beautiful kind of cafe latte color, to the top dome, which is made of 20,000 pieces of stained glass.
Wow.
And is the largest Tiffany glass dome in the world.
My goodness.
And that's three stories high. And this, by the way, which I haven't yet mentioned, is all inside a mountain.
Wow. Wow. Now, how would you spell the website, Dharmaher?
Dharmaher is Dharmaher. That's R for Robert.
Okay.
Australian accent.
Okay.
I might deceive a few people there. So, yes, please go and have a look at some of the incredible images of the temples. You'll be blown away.
Amazing.
I literally had walked in and was there for 5 minutes. The first temple that we were shown through. And by the way, this is a complex of temples. There are at least five that I can remember that are all carved out of the inside of this mountain. And it takes a good day to go through and spend time in each one of these temple spaces. And the first one that we were shown was the Hall of Earth. And the the most beautiful thing happened in there. We were shown through by our Dharmaturian guide, and this was the very lowest of the temples, and it represents the heart of the temples as well. And I think I'd been in there for 5 minutes, and I was so completely overwhelmed. I just burst into tears of joy. I was seriously not believing what I was seeing. I was so unbelievably grateful that the people who had dedicated their time and energy to creating that space had been alive in my lifetime. And I was able to go and see the fruits of their labours. And the triggering that I felt at a cellular level of, I've been here before, I've seen this before, was so intense, because the whole place was inspired by memories that Oberto, who is one of the people who founded Dharmaturg, he remembered these temples from Atlantis. So he wanted to recreate them in our timeline. And I think I must have seen those exact same temples in Atlantis.
Wow. And, of course, many of us are from Atlantis and Lemuria.
We've all, I think, yes, had experiences in those timelines, yes.
Amazing, amazing.
Mm.
Speaking of the planet's ascension, what's your sense of where we are today? Now, we came out of the Mayan fifth night, and we're in the sixth day, and there was a pretty dramatic shift from the one to the next. You know, we were living in the Dark Ages, and then instantly there was this shift into hope and openness. What's your sense of where we're headed now?
I'm completely optimistic about everything.
Good.
I have absolutely no fear whatsoever about where we're heading. We are free, you know?
Yeah.
We're free. There's so much to look forward to. There are some, you know, changes that will be challenging, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't feel like any of those scenarios that, you know, we've probably all spent some time in our past investing in,
yeah,
that were concerned with devastation, Armageddon-type scenarios. I just don't feel any resonance with that anymore. I feel as though we've gone a long way to clear that from the sort of collective human field. There's a lot more work to be done on that level.
Yeah.
But, I totally feel that shift that you mentioned from the fifth night to the sixth day. It was huge, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, really, really amazing.
And the fifth night is dragging on. I mean, it's the repercussions and the reverberations and the waves of it are reverberating into the sixth day, but the sixth day has already taken off. It's like there was an earthquake going on, but people got on the plane, and those who are on the sixth day are watching the earthquake from in the plane.
That's right. Yeah.
So, and that will continue to fall out. I think the global financial collapse is probably inevitable.
Well, it's just an external manifestation of the dismantling process that we've all been going through. I think all of us can relate to how 2008 was such a big year for, you know, recalibrating ourselves, shifting either physically by moving house or having to travel a lot, you know, shifting out of relationships that were not working anymore, careers, a lot of people shifted careers. We were really in this process of dismantling all of these sort of things that we were aligning our energies with and wanting to align our energies with. And as well, dismantling the ego. There was such a huge dismantling of the ego last year, as so many people, unfortunately, went through experiences where they, you know, had that feeling of loss, whether it was loss of a job or loss of a home, loss of a relationship. That came with that a dismantling of ego. And, you know, a lot of people who had identified with things that were external to them prior to losing them, I think were given the opportunity to look within for the first time in maybe a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
And say, well, who am I really?
Yeah.
Where do I want to place my energy? What is working for me and what isn't working for me?
Yeah.
That was a huge thing that a lot of people went through last year. And so as a result, and you know, happening simultaneously, there's this outer dismantling going on of all the things that weren't working, all the things that didn't have energy that could support them anymore, like the banking system. The only things that are really going to have energy to support them now are those things that are aligned with unity, with living lives in a more conscious way, with remembering that we are stewards of this beautiful planet and we've got to take care of her. Those are the only things that are going to have energy supporting them now.
Yeah.
So, you know, that had to happen.
Yes. And it's a good thing.
Yeah, but, you know, in just the same way that we've had dismantlings going on, my God, there's been so much amazing birthing going on at the same time. And if you choose to see it, there's so much to be grateful for and to be optimistic about. And the things that are springing up from the new seeds that are being... I don't know, how would you say, new seeds that are blossoming up everywhere, they're going to take us into our future, and it's a very exciting time to be on this planet. I was saying this actually to a dear friend, Michael White, who some of you may know is an author and spiritual guide who has written a book called The Promised Key.
Well,
and I said to him,
that.
Oh, this is the most exciting time to be alive. And he said, yes, but that's what we said last time. You know, because we've all had many experiences here in many different timelines, many different dimensions of this Earth's evolution. And I think many of us have been together before, and we've said this before, you know, oh, this is the most exciting time to be alive. But you know, it's just another one of those moments where right now in this timeline we are definitely having the most exciting time if we choose to see it that way.
Well, that sounds it feels right to me. And are you involved with Lisa's group, Energetic Synthesis?
Yes, absolutely. The trip away to Italy certainly only strengthened our friendship and connection to one another and to all of the other people who were there, as well as to the entire Energetic Synthesis community, which were fully behind us as we were on our trip. Many of the people who were at home who had... been participating in the forums at her website were so with us in spirit, and since then I've been an active participant in the Energetic Synthesis community, and I'm very, very grateful to everybody there and send all my love to you, my darlings, if you're listening. I really do thank God for Lisa every day. I feel so happy that we have somebody like her here on the planet holding what she is holding. You know, that's not to say that, you know, it's not to give a value judgment of Lisa, just to say I'm just so happy that somebody is here holding what she's holding. And that goes for so many other beings as well that I'm connected with. And Michael White is another one of those people that I'm just so, so, so grateful for. And I would actually love to quickly have a chat with you about The Promised Key.
Yes, I was hoping you would do that. I've heard about it. And not much. I'd like to know more.
It's actually a book that I found out about through Lisa's website, through the forums there. And someone had posted a message. It was a very, very brief, I've been following this guy for a couple of years. He's got some interesting things to say. Go check it out, kind of message.
Uh-huh.
And I clicked on the link, read what he had written. He has a blog site called thepromisedkey.com.
Okay.
And I would highly recommend that anybody who feels any kind of resonance to anything that I've been saying today, please go and check it out.
Okay.
I read some of his blogs, and I was just blown away. I wrote an email, actually, to the Otherware group at Yahoo, and again, I would like to invite anybody who's listening to please join the group. It's a wonderful bunch of people, and
we
share some incredible information. And you can find us at groups.yahoo.com/group/otherware. Or you can just go to yahoo.com, click on groups, and look up otherware.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to my story,
I
shared with the otherware group very early on, once I had read some of Michael's writings, how relieved I was that I had encountered somebody in a male body who was writing at the level that he was writing, who was doing it with such a beautiful clarity and integrity and with no ego. It was so refreshing to me. Because there is, in my experience, I haven't encountered very many people who are kind of on the world stage teaching this type of information, spreading these types of messages, who was doing it as a male without them in some way or other getting caught up in the power of it.
Right,
or,
right.
You know, wanting to have a harem.
Right.
Or, some other kind of extra thing that was going on with them,
I have noticed that.
Yeah. And there's many, many male, there are many males who are here on the planet now who I believe are really holding that frequency of integrity. But not very many of them are on the world stage.
Right.
And going out to the public with these types of messages. Michael was really someone who I could see was doing it with a high level of integrity, and I was just like, oh, thank goodness. Finally. As time has gone on, I decided to, find out more about who he is and what he's doing. And I have learned that he has written a book that's actually a joint project between him and his partner, Susan Jackson.
Uh-huh.
They've worked as a creative team on the book, although Michael has been credited as the author. Susan deserves just as much credit as Michael because of the way that she has helped create the channel and ground the information for Michael to sort of put it all in order, because he is a very, very, very clear channel for spirit. And all you need to do is listen to him speak or read anything that he's written for you to get that. You know, on an energetic level, you'll certainly get that. And on a mental, intellectual level, you'll certainly get that. And at a heart level. But yes, Susan has been instrumental in really bringing in the energy of divine union to their partnership and helping to ground the information. So I wrote to Michael instantly and said, I feel a deep calling to assist you. I want to do anything I can to help you. I want to help you bring this book out into the world. And anything at all, please, let me help you. And I said I'd like to have a reading from you as well, because I knew that through the process of writing this book, both he and Susan have completely moved into a faith and trust journey of manifestation and left both of their jobs, used up all of their resources just to make sure that this book gets written and put out to the public. So they have really, just in some ways not had a lot of resources to support them. The resources have always turned up just when they need them to. I wanted to help support that process as well by paying for a reading. And when we did the reading together, it was extraordinary. So much incredible information came through in that reading for both of us. And it totally cemented, I think, our awareness of each other as soul family. And I've participated for the last few months in a series of conference calls that are around creating a conversation around the concepts and ideas in the book and many revelations that are included in the book that are designed to activate human consciousness and literally our DNA in new ways. Those conference calls have really changed my life, and so much of the process that I've been in for the last 2-3 years, where I started off a couple of years ago doing that trip to sacred sites around the world, time I came on the show with you, we talked about that. That was towards the end of the middle and end of 2007. Then early 2008, I went to Dharmanhur. Many things happened in the middle of the year that sort of helped me progress on my journey and expand even more. And then meeting Michael and Susan just kind of like it's like putting your foot on the accelerator.
Thrusting on the cage.
Right down. It's like pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
That's really just been a wonderful and joyous thing that's happened in my life. And
wow.
I think it's going to happen for many, many others as well who connect with their energy and the work that they're bringing out into the world. So what's happened really over the last... month since the end of last year is that Michael and Susan contacted me, and we'd gotten to know each other well enough through the conference calls and the reading and various communications that had flown between us. Because there was such an enthusiasm in my being, I think that really got them excited too about the potential of us working together, in a co-creative way, in a much more actively co-creative way. So I am now not just a member of the Key Council, I'm also officially a messenger of the Key.
Wow.
So I really, really, really strongly urge you and all of the listeners to check out this incredible book. It is a real gift to humanity, and it's come at a time when the information that's in this book will trigger us all, myself included, in so many wonderful, miraculous, and expansive ways. I'm just so excited by the potential this book has to transform human consciousness and the potential that it holds to restore peace on this planet.
Wow.
That's a big call, I know, but I believe so much in how important this book is going to be, because I know how important it has already been for me personally.
Uh-huh.
If it has touched me in this way, it's going to touch many, many, many others in the same way. And it's going to touch people in all places, in all fears of life. You know, all religious persuasions, atheists, people who are into the sciences, it's going to touch everybody in ways that are unique to them.
Well, I have
as well as unique to all of us. Yeah, you really need to have it. I'd like to actually let everybody know that, you know, we're all part of an activation sequence. The book has been guided in every step of the way, in the way that it was brought through, in the way that it's been announced to the world. It started off with a very small core group of people who are called the Key Council. There's around 30 of us who participated in the conference calls. Now Spirit has guided us to spread the word a little wider, but still to be discerning as to who we share it with, so that the activation sequence continues to expand in the most sort of harmonious way, I guess you could say, for everybody and everything. And those of us who are part of this activation sequence in the very early stages are holding the frequencies of the information in the book. We're kind of like a human container for the resonance field of the book to be seeded into human consciousness. So we're participating in something so special, and I'm just so looking forward to bearing witness to how this book goes out and touches people's lives.
The web address for that again? Can you give us the web address?
Yes, it is thepromisedkey.com.
Well, that's easy enough. And
it's not the official website as yet. That's the name for the official website. It's just about to go online. I think it may be going online tomorrow, because Michael and Susan have been very, very busy preparing all of the content for the website. At the moment, what you'll see are Michael's blog posts, which go back a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some just beautiful, beautiful things there to read. And the whole process and journey of his experience with the book is journaled there. So it's a great thing to go and visit.
Well, Liz, you know, this hour has gone by so fast. You know, this is one of those moments when, we put our pedal to the metal, and we reached 100 miles an hour, and here it is, you know, our hour is up.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our wonderful, loving audience before we sign out?
There is. There's just a couple of quick things.
Okay.
Firstly, I have some very exciting news that perhaps somebody out there who's listening may find useful, and that's why I'm sharing it. I've been very lucky, and learning vibrational healing and sound healing has been a part of my path over the last few years. In December, on the 26th, one of my clients who came to me with breast cancer was declared cancer-free. She came to me less than 3 months before that, and we just used energy medicine and some natural supplements, and
yes,
we knocked it on the head. She had a 5% chance.
Okay,
lots of love to you,
Zany. We're running over.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll have you back.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks a million, Liz.